Now, we've had some folks join us. Do you all want to chime in here, Lee or Patrick or Sue or Kim? Okay. The tweaking of this motion, I was wondering if anybody wants to take responsibility to push that language in there that they were thinking that we should do. Mr. McFadden?
Well, I was hoping somebody that was more familiar with this, with underwriting, to rewrite it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I have a lot of concerns about underwriting, so I don't want to be the one who's offering that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Maybe we'll throw it back to Alex in Greece. Maybe that would be the way to handle it. Yeah, Beth.
Yeah, yes, if
you're fading in and out.
Yep, the Zoom is like instructing me. If we're not going to be moving this version of the motion forward, then I would be willing to put time and effort into rewriting it. And I would very much like the opportunity to consult with James McFadden, certainly, and probably Jim Sagerton, too, given his familiarity with the finances. I just need to know that that's the intention of the committee. Because right now we have a resolution on the floor that has already passed and would, if we don't intervene, it'll be headed to PNB. If we intend to take it back then and work on it further, then I'd be willing to do that. But with the understanding that if in order to take significant part in this effort, I need meetings to be regularly enough scheduled so that I shouldn't have to choose between this and another obligation. That double booking just doesn't fly. Need regular and predictable meetings.
I hear you, Beth. On the other hand, I don't want to wait until Godot comes to get this up to the national level, because we do have.
For me, part of the difficulty has been that we've been scheduling this essentially ASAP, meet week after week after week after week after week, and it's hard to do justice to it on that basis. And we voted on it last week, even though we didn't actually need it in place for a PNB meeting before we had this conversation. And it feels like putting the cart before the horse. And I'm happy to put time and effort into it. I'm interested in getting it right. I'm more interested in getting it right than I am in getting it fast. But that's me. Thanks.
All right. I hear you. I slightly disagree, because I've been watching this issue debated now for years. But, Julie, what was your comment?
Oh, you know, Beth asked if people had any questions about, you know, the development task force. And, you know, Beth, I've heard you say a number of times that the development task force tracks these things. And I guess, you know, like, how do people who aren't routine who can't routinely go to the development task force meetings, you know, how do they find out about this, you know, like the efforts of this tracking? Can I find minutes somewhere or something like that, or do I really have to come to the meetings to be, so that I'm like plugged into that tracking exercise, or are there documents?
Shall I respond to that, Jim?
Sure, of course.
The development task force was set up before I was on the national board, and so I didn't have input into that. And my understanding was that it was set up as a task force and not a committee, so that it didn't get caught up in, quote unquote, all that minutia. So there aren't minutes. We do report on a monthly basis to the PND, but those are usually pretty perfunctory, concise reports, because that's the nature of reports at the national level. And it's that intended to assure that, yes, we are indeed meeting and what our focus has been. And, you know, it's a minute to 3 minutes. If there's interest in more than that, we can do more than that. And because a lot of the efforts would involve Stephanie, it might, unless we want to change our structure and our mandate and all of that, which is also a possibility, but just set up the way we are, it might make the most sense to request a report specifically on development on a regular basis from Stephanie. And I'd be happy to collaborate with her on that. But I know if I were trying to report on what has been done, a lot of my information would have to come from Stephanie, because she's the one in a position to implement that. I guess that's probably enough for the moment. If there are more questions, I'd be happy to work with you, Julie, updating and revising that task force and its mandate, if you're interested. It has grown and consolidated a lot in the year since I was asked to do this, but I think there would be ways we could get more traction on what we're tracking than what we have now. And I'm open to exploring what those might be.
All right. Do any people who have joined us, Sue, Lee, Lyndon, Patrick, do you want to comment on anything we've been talking about so far? Or you have any points you want to make?
Yes, this is Lyndon. I'd just like to say that this has not been done in a hurry. It's been worked on for quite some time. I believe Alex has done the majority of the wordsmithing, as you will, on this. And it's gone through at least 3 or 4 iterations. So I just want to alleviate anybody who's not familiar with this, that this has not been a rushed project. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lyndon. That's my impression too. My feeling is that the comments that were made today are valid ones, and we should put it in and tweak the language. But I think we should proceed to, head it north and have everybody's input. Jim, you raised your hand again.
Mr. Bergeron? I did. I was just going to say, this is not a writing. Fixing or wordsmithing this motion is not something I'm interested in. This is not my bailiwick. But if somebody else does, I'm willing to provide, read it and provide feedback, because I think it's important that it just be clear. So if somebody else wants to take a shot at it, but I don't want to be in any kind of committee that's rewriting it, but if they send it to me, I'll make comments and get them back. So I'm willing to do that.
All right, good. That's great. And, of course, Beth, we'd want your input on this as we move forward. I just think my concern is the kind of fiscal emergency we're in, and I would rather, get something in, a tool perhaps that general managers can start to play with that can maybe bring in a trickle of new revenue to offset these problems that we're facing. And that's just my feeling about it. I'm not disagreeing with your notion of getting it right and all that stuff. I just want to keep which is this fiscal problem we're having. In any event, Now, other questions about other, now Jim is raising a question about other financial alternatives, to help us get through this. I'm not talking about some of these worst case scenarios about selling things, swapping things, selling buildings, et cetera, et cetera. I'm trying in my best to avoid any of that as much as we can. Go on, Sue. What were you going to say? Sue?
Oh, I just, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Sue.
I was going to say, oh, great. That I really, as the, past membership director for years and, as a, marketing studier for years, and I call myself an expert, I really want to participate in the development committee, but I've not been able to hook up with it. And I have some instruments from the past for raising money, like the major donor flyer and stuff. I need an expert who can update that flyer, and maybe Beth knows somebody who can do that. And that's all. Thanks. Hello?
Yeah, thank you, Sue. Well, one other thing that comes into mind is power stations these days, I'm thinking about 30 years ago, there used to be a separation of larger donors from, you know, the listener members who were $2,500, $200, but there used to be a separation of the larger donors, people who are giving, in one sense, Donahue used to give about $20,000 a year to WBAI, along with his wife. And I'm wondering if that's going on at the stations. I know somebody was talking about how WPFW was embarking on a fundraising strategy somewhere along those lines. And I'm wondering if that kind of fundraising strategy is going on along with the normal fundraising strategies at any of the stations. I mean, I don't know if people have any knowledge about that.
May I?
Was that Sue? You want to jump in on that?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go on.
Yeah. At KPFK, they keep trying to start up this major donor and lapsed donor phone banking campaign, but can't get it to go through because of paid staff. And there's various problems, and anyway, major donor, and but it's so easy. The computer programmers are made to tag to just do a database search in the membership. It's so easy.
Okay. Yeah, Chris, you have your hand up. Chris, your hand is up. Or it's still up from earlier.
All right.
Well, another issue that has to be dealt with is I think we have to form as soon as possible, and I certainly would want to participate in that. We have to start to, we're either going to get the money or we're not going to get the money. We're either going to get rebuffed or we're going to not get rebuffed. But I think we have to start, some of us have to start working on the application for the CPB in the spring. The sooner, the better. And again, it may be a forlorn hope, but I'd rather get all that work done and then, you know, see what the result is, in the midst of all this. But again, the question gets back to immediate money that's needed right now, next week, today, etc. And I was wondering what other ideas people have about this question. Yeah, go on, Beth.
Yes, regarding major donors and tracking major donors, those are the kinds of donors who those relationships happen by developing the relationship over time, and it, because of that, it's necessary to have some continuity in members in management. KPFK really hasn't had anybody in that position as GM or PD or development director or anyone with those responsibilities in pretty much as long as I've, since not long after I got to the LSB, almost 3 years ago now. If there's anybody in a position to do that right now, it would be Stephanie. I'm not as familiar with the other stations, but at other stations, again, I don't know who would be doing that at T, but at the other stations, if anyone is doing that, it would likely be the general manager, or if anyone is and it's not that person, the general manager would know, because that information is highly valuable information. The contact information is very confidential, and not just anybody is qualified to make those calls. And it's, I guess that me, I would point this out as what I'm observing from having worked in the National Development Task Force for a couple of years now, that there seems to be a significant disconnect between management at various stations and volunteer efforts to, or board efforts, which are also volunteer efforts to address fundraising. I understand we have a history of like friction and old axes to grind and stuff. I think that's probably has a lot to do with what inhibits our ability to raise funds, because again, it has to do with establishing local relationships, cultivating those relationships over time, in such a way that they can be comfortable enough with us to have confidence enough in us to entrust us with their resources. Anything that can be done to encourage those relationships, or the some kind of collaboration between local management and local volunteers, that effort needs to be made. Clearly, what we're doing now, our legacy in this, has not served us well. I would say in the National Development Task Force, Bertholdt has come, I think, twice and was very warmly received. And I don't think I can actually point to anyone, any other management from the stations who have attended those meetings. And it doesn't sound like they're, like collaborating with each other, like general managers in general, on this effort of seeing what works in the various plan, what they could borrow from each other. Those kinds of, internal supportive relationships don't seem to be there. So we should work on that as an organization. I mean, that's a pretty broad sweeping thing to say, but that's my observation.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because it's my experience that general managers, usually have, when they have good relationships with big donors, that's when money comes in. I know that happens in New York, and right. It happens in the real world, period. But one thing that is important is that stations do collaborate right now in terms of what is working in terms of their membership drives and not. We never get any information from KPFA about that, and I really would like to get that information to know what we can learn about that from them, etc. It's just very interesting the way the stations work in terms of sharing financial information that's of any relevance and detail to what we need to do to go further. And basically, I can see here the CPB issue. You know, Chris is raising the good point that the audience numbers are low. Others are saying we should do it. Yeah, these are things we already know. We could indeed get rejected because of the low numbers. But again, I think that... interesting. We'll correct that, Sue. That's sort of inaccurate about the CPB. The CPB requires every station in a metro area that we're all in to have 4 paid staff at the minimum. So, the whole idea that they were forcing stations to professionalize, they only want 4 full-time equivalents. So that's the actual requirement for a community service grant, and all our stations except for Texas have more than 4 full-time employees. So anyway, that's just to clarify that. I was just asking. Go on, Sue.
They can put us in a lower grade. They can put us in a lower grade because they think we're not trying hard enough to have more paid staff. Professionalized.
I've read those regulations several times, and unless I'm wrong, I could be wrong. It's my understanding that when you have a certain amount of people in your metro audience, they only want, you have to have at least 4 full-time employees. And so every station that Pacifica has is in a station.
That's the official regulation. But
right.
That is the official regulation. That is not necessarily what they have. Thousands of stations to choose from. They make a lot of judgments. They have to make judgments, and they prefer the ones that are professionalizing.
All right. Well,
so
okay.
To say.
Okay. Fair
Thank
point.
You.
Fair point. 312-388-2011. Yes, your comments. You need to unmute. Telephone number 312-388-2011.
Jim, you should only read the last 4 digits.
Okay, got it.
Yep. Okay, no worries. Thank you. This is Sarah Kleppner from the WBAI listening area. I just wanted to point out, and maybe this is obvious and, you know, part of the background of the discussion, but in terms of reaching out to potential major donors, there are people in California who have long histories with Pacifica, or perhaps distant histories with Pacifica, and, you know, consulting with the archives folks about, you know, people they're aware of, you know, there's a vast array of them, I think, that are still around. And, you know, even perhaps taking the time, if somebody can do this, to listen to the interviews that were recorded maybe years ago, and drawing on some of the content there to appeal directly to individuals, you know, who have the wherewithal to support the network. So just wanted to point that out. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sarah. Those are good points. There are rich donors who have contributed to Pacifica in the past. That's a fact. And we all know that.
Just to clarify, Jim, sorry. Just to clarify, I'm talking about the celebrities, the high profile folks, you know,
absolutely.
The Jane Fondas, Robert Redford, I think, was probably interviewed on Pacifica. I'm just trying to, you know, I don't have anybody at the top of my head, but I mean the well-known folks, not just the historic donors, which is another group, but I'm talking about the well-known people who have a connection. So, because the speaker, I'm sorry, I don't have your name, we were talking about the importance of relationships. So I'm saying, and I agree, and I certainly, but that can be sort of bypassed by drawing on the connection to Pacifica as an entity, you know, and their people's having been interviewed. And though, you know, so drawing on that, and even like
right.
I'm saying, specifically going and listening to some of the interview and saying, well, you know, 1977, you said this and it's still true. And, you know, we're making it, you know, right.
Right.
Does that
right.
make sense?
Yeah. Those are good ideas, Sarah. I know with Yoko Ono, how Yoko Ono gave $10,000 to Pacifica was Mitchell Cohen wrote a letter to her in Los Angeles. Yoko Ono used to be the chief librarian at WBAI in the 60s for a short period of time when she was at Sarah Lawrence, and she sent $10,000 to support WBAI. So that was sort of money out of the blue. But yes, there's all sorts of possibilities, including what Sarah's doing, talking about, to sort of mine the people who have been interviewed in the past. That's a great idea. Now, for short-term financial issues, you know, like, again, we're talking about in the next couple of weeks, making payroll, that kind of stuff. That's what's going on right now in the situation we're in. You know, literally having a sense of emergency and looming disaster, if you will, to just have to make the nut the next week, as they say in New York. Yeah, we'll be done in a bit, Chris. So would anybody have any other ideas that they'd like to share? I guess we're going to sit there and, at least with this motion, we're going to send it around to people. We're going to try to put some language in that will meet some of the criticisms that were made. I know Alex will help, hopefully help edit it, and we'll recirculate it. But does anybody else have any ideas or suggestions they want to make that have to do with the immediacy of the financial situation we're in right now? What do they think we should be doing that we're not doing right now? Beth, you have your hand? Yeah, Chris?
Yeah.
Go on, Chris.
Okay, so this idea comes up periodically, and I think everybody always has the same reaction to it, and that's, you know, there are successful programs within the organization that we could franchise between the stations. And I know I've gotten the lecture before about demographics. You know, the stations all have different demographics. I get that. But even within those demographics, there's overlaps. And I can't imagine that each and every station wouldn't have at least one program on their grid that could be valuable to another station. But I don't think any effort has been made. I might be completely wrong about this. Please tell me I'm wrong if I am, because I don't know of any effort that's been made to share those programs. And that would be of nothing but benefit to the programmers, because you're effectively syndicating their programs, which develops a larger audience for their programs. That's a win-win for the organization if we could do it. It also saves the individual stations the cost of developing those programs themselves. So I don't know. I mean, if this is something that isn't happening, this would be a good time to make it happen, because we are losing programmers pretty steadily across the network, and so we're losing content, and we have to make up for that in some way. And it's one of the easiest ways that we can correct that problem. And I would love to know that we're already doing it, but I have a bad feeling that we're not, and we should. Thanks.
Jim writes, Flashpoints is on KPFK. But yes, this has been talked about, Chris. I've been hearing people talking about that for the past couple of months, especially with the situation in Los Angeles. And so it's a very interesting, and I agree with you, like a situation like this, I mean, there are programs that are not necessarily, tied into the local characteristics of the market that they already are being played in. You know, and that's like Mitch Jedger's show and other shows. And you're right. You can put them in a void and see what happens. I think Lenny Lopate should be moved to Los Angeles as a show in New York. But Sarah, you wanted to just comment again, Sarah? Sarah, you have your hand up?
Sorry, actually, no, I just forgot to lower it, but thank you.
Okay. All right, well, unless there's any other comments or because there's some good thoughts here. Again, the main thing is we're trying to figure out how to we, my personal feeling is we have to figure out a way to double the audience immediately. I mean, that's not necessary. That is, yes, that directly deals with financing, because that simply means we have more people listening, hence we have more listener members. And my personal feeling is a short-term goal should be to get each audience's weekly cume up by 100%, or at least 50%. Certainly from what it is right now, because right now we're, and I'm basing this on the data I'm analyzing from all the different stations I'm getting. I'm getting some cooperation from other stations, some from not from others. But what I am seeing is that about 30 to 40% of the listeners at each station are people who essentially only listen to that station. Okay, so they're not necessarily new members, and they're hardcore listeners. And hence, the actual numbers in the weekly cumes, let's say in Los Angeles, you get a weekly cume of about 80,000. So that means about 30 to 40,000 people are actually listening. Now, that's much too low. That's much too low. And we need to double that in order to begin to creep out of this financial problem. And that's, you know, I know people hate it when I, you know, when people bring up the programming issue, but there is part of that in that issue, that context. But go on, Beth.
Thank you. I agree with what you're saying. The problem is, the predicament is that we don't have anyone in the station, in a position to make any of those changes. We are effectively decapitated. We don't have a general manager. We don't have a program manager. We haven't had effective management for over a year now. Nothing at that station is going to change until we get effective management in there with, the overall, authority and wherewithal to, make a general assessment, determine a direction, and implement something. So we never lack for good ideas. Pacifica never does. We're nothing if not cultural creative. What we lack is the implementation. And so again, that's not going to happen at KPFK until we get effective management on the ground there with the mandate to bring about these changes. So that's where we're stuck. We have to get ourselves beyond that point in order to see any change at all. And without that change, I don't see us lasting. Thank you.
Well, I agree. See, that's to me perplexing, because it's obvious that something has to be done. I mean, I hear people, I think just on Saturday, I was listening to people complain about the amount of money being raised every day in Los Angeles. And I'm not sitting there from somebody in New York, because trust me, I will complain about stuff here in New York too. It just is that we are a network. We have to all work together, and we have to help those that are going through tough problems. And right now, Los Angeles is going through the toughest of the problems. And to have nobody actually making decisions right now and trying to organize that, to me, is telling, quite telling. I just cannot be allowed to continue. I mean, I just don't understand why it's being, you know, this is allowed to get to this point of complete breakdown, frankly. But anyway, if there's anybody else who wants to comment before we close. Yes, Heather.
I'm sorry. I've mentioned this at Pacifica meetings in the past, and we just have not done this yet. I've also talked with Stephanie about it, but I think that as radio folks involved in radio and radio producers, we need to look beyond radio in order to promote Pacifica and programs on Pacifica stations and the affiliate stations as well, for that matter. And I'm talking about writing articles, and getting them in magazines and newspapers and so forth about the important history of Pacifica, about the important programs that we've had over the years, and having it in contemporarily and so forth. So, and I don't want to get into another discussion, a long discussion about this right now, Jim, but I think this is something that we need to implement, actually. So I'm going to continue with this discussion with other groups as well, but I'd appreciate people's ideas along this line. I think we need to develop a group of folks who would be interested in working on this and starting getting articles out everywhere. About Pacifica, about the contemporary programs, about whatever, so that people can be better educated about the importance of the work that Pacifica has done all these many years and is continuing to do now. So, anyway.
All right. Well, I have to agree with Beth, of course, implementation. We have a lot of very creative, energetic people. There's no doubt about it. There's no dearth of ideas among when you get a bunch of folks together to brainstorm. But the implementation, of course, is the main problem. And, of course, the immediacy of what we're having to handle here with these fiscal issues so pressing on us is so, so difficult. Now, I just wanted to give a little bright ray of sun here on something that has nothing along the lines of what Heather is just mentioning. A couple of weeks ago, those people who know me know I have a pretty good archive of stuff that has to do with New York and Pacifica in general. And I came across this 600 to 700 page document that was compiled in 1986 by the National Board, which is essentially a reader on Pacifica. Basically dozens and dozens of papers starting from 1946 to 1984 that has to do with the evolution of Pacifica as a radio network. I have scanned the entire document. It is a pretty hefty scan. It's about 40 megabytes. And what I would want to do is to make it available to everybody. So if someone here is an IT freak that could suggest a way for me to do this, to make it available to some website or something like that, I'll just send it off and start doing that. Just go on, Beth.
That's okay. My friend was up from before.
Okay. So anyway, I just want to let people know that I have that document. Slim lines with Heather. It's quite enlightening, by the way. It talks, has a lot of stuff about the foundation of KPFA, a lot of interesting comments, because people always have these arguments about what the mission statement is. It's sort of interesting to read how they viewed it in the 1950s. Very different from how we're arguing it nowadays. But I will put that into some form to share it with people. Again, it would take several emails to send it out to mass mailing lists. But again, what we're going to do now is we will have a revision. We'll sort of fine-tune this, put it through another version, and tweak it a little bit, deal with some of the comments that were made. We'll send it to some of the people in the committee, and then at that point, I think it's ready to go, to at least have another go-around through the National Board. Because, again, the tweaking, we wanted to get the main thing passed. This is precisely what we talked about when we passed it a week or two ago. We wanted to have people have the opportunity to contribute and tweak it. And I just think that given the financial situation, it would be really useful to place a tool in the hands of the managers as soon as possible to allow them to offset the deficits that they're having. In any event, so I make a motion to adjourn. Hearing no opposition, and thank you all for joining. I do appreciate those who joined. It was my mess up that did not put the Zoom link in properly, so I take full responsibility for that stupidity. It was my screw up. But I do apologize to those who are listening. Next time we do this, I will make sure that I hit the update button and don't make a mess of that. But thank you anyway for participating tonight. Thank you so much.